Welcome to Culture Bites, where we take culture theory and turn it into everyday insights. We're powered by Human Synergistics, and our mission is to change the world one organization at a time. We can only do that together with our amazing community, so thank you for listening.
Welcome to Culture Bites. My name's Dominic Gawley. I'm a consultant with Human Synergistics Australia, and I'm joined by our head of consulting, Corinne Cantor. Hey, Corinne.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
I'm really well and excited, Corinne, because we've got mail.
We've got mail.
That's probably an old reference, isn't it?
I know.
The kids won't understand that. But we've got a letter from a listener today around the topic of managing up. And so to kind of get to it, the question is basically, how do you view managing up and its common tools / approaches across the circumplex? Adapting to your manager's style is a key tenet of managing up, but it presents the risk of perpetuating defensive management styles. So how would you recommend that staff approach passive defensive and aggressive defensive managerial styles in order to create constructive outcomes and role model constructive behaviors so that they are normalized in manager-staff interactions?
That's such a great question.
Mm.
So good. And I like the distinction made, or the risk, articulating of risk, that in managing up, in inverted commas, you run the risk of reinforcing a defensive style of operating from the leader.
Yeah, I must say, when I saw this question first, because I think it was coming out that there again a bit of pushback around this concept of managing up, and I kind of found myself bristling a little as well. And I think it's because, Corinne, when most people say, you know, he manages up really well, I think that's often said as a sort of backhanded compliment, right? Yeah. Meaning he presents really well to further up the organization, but he's a train wreck to his team or peers or whoever, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, he looks good upwards, but not downwards. And I think that's often what people mean when they say managing up.
It's what's associated, isn't it? I agree with you. I think that there is a kind of sense, when we talk about managing up, there's a kind of sense implied of a bit manipulative,
right?
Fake,
right?
You know,
yes.
And it's very self-interested.
Mm.
You know what, though? I was thinking, if you were going to reframe, not use that language of managing up because it carries those connotations, you'd probably say something like, how do you develop a productive relationship, productive rapport with your leader?
Right. We want that.
Yeah. Which is, I think, like, managing up is essentially, there's, in essence, that would be what would be valuable around it.
Right.
But you want to do that minus the defensive tactics.
So I guess that's the question, you know, like, because when people think of managing up, they're thinking from different, you know, if we think of
what mindset,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If we think of the circumplex, you know, if we manage up from a sort of passive space, what would that look like?
Yeah. Well, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
So this is very off the cuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're just going to riff. And we're going to do it at a cluster level, I think. That's probably easier. So I think if your mindset and your thinking, you know, your thinking was passive defensive in managing up, let's stick with those words for now.
Yeah.
What kind of thinking would you be bringing to it? So you'd probably be thinking that you would need to accommodate your leader regardless of whether it was a good idea or not.
Right. So follow orders even when they don't make sense.
And not just accommodate, but maybe ingratiate yourself.
Uh-huh.
So actually change what you think and feel, even if you disagree, and just actively agree.
Mm.
You know, so that would be, you'd also probably be quite cautious. You mightn't be speaking up in case something that you said felt, you know, wasn't well received.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to be seen as stupid or challenging or saying anything that is too confronting to the leader.
Uh-huh. So it's almost a bit of a yes man kind of stuff. Like, you know, so do what you're told. Ingratiate yourself as far as like, we're going to be buddy, but so be nice.
Yeah. Be
That's
nice.
That's such a
but
good
also,
idea, Corinne.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking that to me, ingratiate is you're in a meeting with someone, say you're my leader, Dom, and I vehemently disagree with a point that you're making privately. But I don't just stay silent. I actually say, yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know why we haven't done it before. You know, so completely do a flip in order to agree, in order to make you feel that I'm on side. So I think that's a kind of passive defensive approach.
Yeah. What about aggressive defensive?
I think that'd be about trying to prove myself to you. So it could be that, you know, that might manifest in terms of actually saying we use is throwing somebody under the bus or a team under the bus by actually saying it's their fault.
Right. You know,
deflecting attention to
other people.
Don't
accept any blame.
Yeah.
Point it towards others.
Yeah. It might be accepting credit for an idea that wasn't yours to look good. Or it might be, kind of shining the spotlight over everything that you've done that you know that the manager's going to like.
And I think this is the one people probably think of when they think of like the example I said earlier of he manages up well kind of stuff is like, hey, Dominic rules with an iron fist sideways and below.
Yes.
And smashes people, but then upwards he seems like this really nice guy or something, you know? And so it's that proving self, throwing other people under the bus.
Focusing on self-interest and looking good. In the leadership impact, there is a question around balance that actually says, so people have to rate the leader. There's a bipolar scale. So a bipolar scale is you've got a description on the left-hand side, description on the right-hand side, and people have to place it somewhere there. So on the left-hand side, it is this person advances their own success. And on the right-hand side is this person advances the organization's success. And so that kind of self-interest where given a choice, making a decision that promotes my interest versus the interests of my team or the organization, that self-interest will lean towards me. And that's what people perceive often with the managing up. Equally, sometimes they perceive on the approval side that a someone's not strong enough to push back. And so they're managing up by just agreeing to everything that the leader wants to happen.
Or only delivering good news and stuff like that.
That's right. Only telling the good news.
So
I think that's kind of probably a defensive lens looking at the idea of managing up. What about if we look at it more constructively?
Well, here's the thing, Corinne, because it's like, you know, to me, do we want to have a good relationship with our manager?
Yeah.
Do we want to keep them informed of what's going on?
Yes.
Do we want to be open to their influence so they're open to ours?
Yes.
You know, do we want to have a relationship so when the time comes that we need to push back, the one that matters, they actually listen to us? You know, and so, yeah, we want to manage up. Like that's a crucial relationship is your manager. It's probably
I also think
most important relationship.
Yeah, and I would say I would frame managing up as also managing just stakeholder. It's good stakeholder management. So instead of it seeing it as being a dark art, you know, that we see it as being making good sense. Now, one of the things that I think is important about developing a productive relationship with your manager or your leader is to understand the kind of problems your leader is trying to solve.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's a really important aspect of developing that productive relationship because, A, it gives you the opportunity to grow by understanding what the world looks like at that level.
A broader view,
kind
perhaps.
Broader view, bigger picture, what kind of issues and challenges is on your leader's mind and how do you help her solve them? So I think their problems are our problems,
right?
They're the problems of the business and the opportunities. So I think anticipating the needs of your leader is a productive and constructive thing to do, but you can't do that unless you've spent some time and empathy with
understanding
their world.
Yeah, so, you know, do we want to be aligned on, you know, their strategic direction and priorities and aligned to that? Of course we do. Here's the challenge though, Corinne, and I think this was the second part of the question of could it perpetuate defensive styles? What if your leader was not particularly benevolent?
Or constructive
in their strategy or priorities?
Yeah.
You know, so what if their priorities were to look good to their boss or something, you know, and so they're throwing the other department under the bus or something like that.
Yeah.
Because then how do you approach it then? Because it's like we want a good relationship, but
Yeah.
Hey, the direction they're going in is not necessarily a constructive one. So what do you do then?
Yeah, look, I think that you can't control somebody else's behavior and you can't control their thoughts or the action. What you can do is control your own and manage yourself in that situation. So how do you do that constructively? I think a couple of powerful things that you can do is, first of all, be really clear on what your position is.
Mm.
So be really clear about what your position is, but also what the goal is. So I think one of the most important things to do if you find yourself in a situation where you're talking to a defensive, you know, a leader that's got a defensive style and you disagree with what they're saying, is the first thing that I would do is say, what are we trying to achieve? Uh-huh. What's our goal in this? And it takes you straight to achievement. You know, okay, what's our goal?
And how
is this going to help us? Or sometimes you don't want to ask how is this going to help us, because it might open up a whole sort of Pandora's box. So you might instead say, okay, generate some different alternatives of how that goal can be achieved.
Mm.
So that's the first thing, is what's the goal and why is that the goal and what would be the best way to achieve it? So I think generating other alternatives is a very powerful way of interacting and engaging in that level. Ultimately, if they don't agree or they have a different view, you've given it your best shot and you can walk away feeling good that you've done your best.
And I'd add to that, Corinne, to play the long game.
Yes.
Because there's that one thing, hey, we're making this decision about whatever.
Yeah.
I've generated some alternatives. They still want to do it the way, you know, the original way, and hey, maybe it's not ideal.
Yeah.
There could be some collateral damage.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but the long game is, hey, we can stamp our feet, you know, and tell them they're an idiot or something, but then we lose all influence with them.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we're outside the tent. We have no influence. And so they're going to go on making the same decisions and we have zero impact on that.
Yeah.
Or we could say, you know, here are some ideas. Hey, boss still wants it done this way. We're going to do it that way and we're going to smash it out of the park.
Mm.
And by doing that, we're going to actually build our relationship with them.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a strong enough relationship right now to actually influence them differently.
Yeah. Although I probably disagree with it a little bit, because I think that it depends on what's involved. If it's a disagreement of how something gets done, but the solution that the boss is putting through forward has integrity,
right,
is effective,
right,
I don't think you lose anything by reinforcing, promoting.
Gotcha.
It's just a different view, right? But if what the boss wants to do
fundamentally
challenges your values base,
right,
that's a whole different kettle of fish. You know, now I know, and having worked myself in hostile workplaces, there are times you make that trade-off because it's the lesser of the evils in terms of what you're facing into.
Mm.
So I completely get that, completely get that sometimes people feel that their choices are limited.
Yeah.
That said, you need to also think about the consequence to you. You know, there's one person you can't walk away from, that's you.
Yep.
And so how long can you keep going along with something that kind of dents your soul a little bit, you know, every time you give into fear. So I don't really want to go down that track, but I just want to acknowledge that that's the risk of doing it that way. What I would say, though, going back to how you could deal with it constructively, first thing, go to what the goal is. Why is that the goal? What does good look like?
Mm.
So what is the outcome you're seeking to achieve?
Mm.
The other thing that I would do is, okay, let's say we go down that road. What will be the consequences? Okay. So the other thing is, explore the consequences of making that decision. What are the risks that that brings? And then actually generate some other alternatives that show that it's still possible to get it done in a different way.
Mm.
As you said, the boss or the leader might still insist that it's going to go down the road that they disagree with.
Mm.
And I think that the call that you have to make then is, what is the trade-off that you're prepared to make?
I think it depends. If they're asking you to do something unethical.
Yes.
Like you said, that's kind of different than non-optimal.
Yes.
Or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, that's not the best way of going about it, but it works well enough. That's different than I'm being asked to do something unethical right now.
Yeah.
That is a different
case. I think that's a great distinction, Dom. I think that you don't want to do something that is unethical or that compromises your values as at a deep level.
Right.
I think then what's important for the person to do is to kind of work out what their boundaries are in terms of, and also boundaries in terms of what are the kind of values I want to live by. You know, this is important to me. But the other thing is, when you're faced with that kind of dilemma, how do you assess if you're being too resistant? You know, so it could be you are being too attached versus the manager being too attached.
Right.
You know, so how do you look at how am I contributing to this impasse or this, you know, experience that I'm having? What is it that I can let go of, you know, in order to help us both move forward? So I think what's the goal? What are the outcomes we're looking to assess? Do a bit of a SWOT on it. Okay. You know, how sure are we that this approach is going to achieve it? What is the consequence of making that move and having it go wrong? What are the other ways that we might achieve the same thing? You know, so I think it's that kind of reasoned approach. For that reason, I think that it's good. So if you're thinking about how do you skill people up to build productive, you know, relationships with managers, I think one of the important tools that you can give them is questions that they can ask related to achievement and related to humanistic encouraging so that they've got a kind of a toolkit around, in this scenario where I'm being challenged and I disagree, this is going to be my go-to set of questions. This becomes part of my toolkit. And also think about, these are the things that I need to think intentionally about in terms of my values, decisions. So I think they're really important. But some of the work that you do before you enter that situation, the relationship that you build before anything happens is the key.
That's right.
You know, and so we talked about learning to see the world from your leader's point of view so that you can, A, understand what they expect of you, be clear on how they're measuring you and what they're expecting from you. That allows you to anticipate what their needs are. You know, ask them to help you understand how they like to be communicated with. I know that I was recently talking to a leader that I was debriefing, and he's a strong, strong operational leader. He said, I really believe in people, but if you were to judge me by my emails, you'd just think that I was, you know, aggressive because I don't like email communication, so it only ever says one or two lines.
Right.
And the people who know me
get it.
The people who don't, because I don't go back and say, how was your weekend? And
right.
So I think that that leader, if you're going to communicate to me by email, just get to the point, because I don't want to have to.
Right.
He said to me, the most painful thing I find is when somebody new reporting to me sends me an email that like takes me
2 paragraphs or
longer, 3 paragraphs. So I think learn how they communicate, how they process information. I think this is smart to do with your peers,
with everyone,
with your team, everyone, you know, to be able to be more collaborative and to be able to understand how do we get there quicker.
Yeah. You know, we were kind of talking about the extreme example as well, where we've been asked to do something unethical. That's probably fairly rare, really.
Hopefully.
Look, I think in most cases, you know, does your leader want the company to fail?
Yeah.
No. You know, like, do they want the team to not achieve the goal? No, right? And so there must be a reason why they're asking us to do whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think harking back to a point you made way earlier when we were talking about the passive styles and we're saying agreeing with every idea and so on, I was thinking as well that sometimes to build that relationship, even if we disagree, like on the small stuff that doesn't matter, let it go.
Yeah.
And so then the ones that actually matter, you've got their air. Because if it's just like every time I say something, Dominic's got 20 reasons why it's a bad idea, then the one that actually matters, it's all the same.
Yeah.
But if it's like, you know what? He always says, like good. This one he's got a question on. Well, now I'm actually kind of intrigued because it's 1 out of 20 or 1 out of, you know, whatever the number is.
And the other thing I think is if you build a good relationship, one of the things that I find when I've been in leadership roles is that sometimes – you may not be able to share everything that you know, but sometimes the people reporting to you assume that you're looking at the same picture and the picture's often different.
Mm.
And so one of the good questions that you can ask is if you disagree or you're not getting why your leader's saying, look, this is what I understand that you're saying is the way to go. What I don't understand is why that's important. Help me understand what you're seeing that I can't. Right. So that's
why.
You know, a specific questions around what are you seeing that I can't? What can you share with me that will help me understand? So it's actually, I think the principle is try and see the world from your leader's point of view. And if you don't know what that world looks like, then ask them what it looks like to help you understand and develop. So we've talked about go to the goal, talk about the risks and the consequences of getting it wrong, generate multiple alternative, explore alternatives, which is another achievement item. Also, I think build the relationship. So I think understand the leader's communication preferences, not so that you can mimic it, but so that you can understand how to engage
be effective with it.
The other thing I think is understand how often a leader wants to know or needs updates, okay, in terms of how regularly do they need to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they send you a question, if they send you a note, respond to it to say at the very least that you acknowledged it and when you're going to come back. You know, these are just kind of, I think, hygiene behaviors.
What about maybe varying, but like with the micromanager?
Yeah.
Because thinking about that when they want updates all the time is the answer. But even then I'm thinking manage up, like will it lead to a better outcome if I push back against that? Oh man, Corinne's always on my case. She always wants to know everything. So I'm going to withhold information. I'm not going to tell her stuff.
Yeah.
Is that going to land on a better result? Probably not, because then Corinne's sitting there like, Dominic doesn't give me what I want. Now I'm really worried. Like, why the heck aren't I hearing from him?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be even more down his back.
Yeah.
And so it's like with the micromanager, hey, how do we just push information, anticipate the need, push until you build that relationship and hopefully they're like, you know what, actually he's pretty on to it and he can run there.
Or even if you've got a good relationship, you might be able to say, I know that you like having the detail and so how often would we need to meet? And if the manager says every day at the, you know, 5 p.m. and say that, you know, because one of the problems with meeting too regularly, it doesn't give you enough time to execute.
To do anything.
And so the reason is that's probably not going to give me enough time. Can we set this rhythm? So you suggest a rhythm.
Right.
So you acknowledge the need. Say, what kind of information you're going to need from me quickly? And if we meet this often for this purpose, so how often do you want to whip? But you could suggest it. I think one of the things too with managing up is I think often people have such high expectations of their leaders that they're waiting to be guided on everything. So practice taking the initiative and saying, I've been thinking about this issue, this project that we're working on, Dom, and I was thinking that probably the kind of information you want to see from me is X, Y, Z. Is that right? Because I can tell you what, every leader's going to love that. Because you've done the thinking for them.
Right.
Right? They're not having to chase you. So I think that's, as you said, it's about anticipating the need, but you can't anticipate the need unless you understand their world. And the other thing is try and have regular meetings with them. It's not just about what you need from them. It's also what they can ask of you.
Right. Cool. So, you know, I guess my conclusion to this and the letter from the listener is I think the reason they were asking it is because they've been talking about managing up and they don't hear that as a negative connotation, but I think some people have that connotation that it implies, you know, you're managing up well, but ... There's a row of dots after that. But I think it's really our manager is a key relationship.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most key relationship in your job.
Yeah.
Do we want to manage that well?
Yeah.
Of course. And so it's really the question is how do we do that from a constructive lens?
Yeah.
Whatever the case of the manager, whether they're passive or aggressive or constructive themselves, how do we take a constructive approach to managing that relationship with them?
Yeah. And I kind of figured, you know, part of it was maybe causing some ripples. So on the one hand, I would consider changing the title of that program.
Yeah.
There's a cheeky part of me that thinks, oh, well, it's interesting that it's causing some ripples. So
it'll drive some interest anyway.
Let's see how that goes. But I think that might be check to see what they're reacting to.
Right.
Versus whether it's the idea
of the title or is it the content?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Great topic.
Thanks for that letter. If anyone else has a topic out there for us, you can email us at podcast@human-synergistics.com.au. We love to get mail.
They're the best.
So send them in.
All right.
Thanks, Corinne.
Thanks, Dom.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Culture Bites. If you enjoy the show, remember to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, leave us a review. It helps other people to find the show. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, email podcast@human-synergistics.com.au. We'd love to answer it. This podcast is copyright by Human Synergistics Australia, all rights reserved. To learn more about what we do, visit human-synergistics.com.au.